You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi.
And I'm Katie Frankowitz. An initiative that would tax vacant homes with the goal of supporting housing opportunities in Astoria will go to voters this November. At a meeting Monday night, the Astoria City Council faced several options when it came to the citizen-led initiative, including adopting the initiative then and there, delaying discussion of the initiative to a future meeting, or adding additional language to the initiative, a move that would have given voters two versions of the measure to choose between. The councilors went with a fourth option, to allow the initiative to move forward to the November ballot as is. The initiative gained more than 1,100 signatures from Astoria voters. Supporters say a tax on homes left intentionally vacant for much of the year is an important tool in building up options for year-round Astorians. If voters approve the tax, revenue generated by the tax will go into a city-controlled community housing fund. But supporters hope a tax could also motivate some people to offer vacation and second homes as long-term rentals. They noted there are exemptions for people who are renovating their homes or facing financial hardships, among other things. Critics, however, worry about unintended consequences and potential legal liability for the city. Others doubted the tax would do much to increase housing stock in Astoria. The initiative will be on the November 3rd ballot. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting.
Tillamook County commissioners voted unanimously to move ahead on the construction of a new emergency radio system. The nearly $28 million contract with Motorola Solutions puts the project on track to begin construction of new radio towers at 10 existing sites across the county early next month. This work comes after county officials identified that the current emergency radio system had become unreliable in 2019. Motorola's system will rely on APX radios that connect to cellular network if a radio signal is unavailable, and to satellites if cellular network is unreachable. If the final contract is approved at the commissioners' meeting next week, Motorola will begin work in September, and the system is projected to be online by June 2028. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
Once again, Oregon is leading a coalition of states in a lawsuit challenging President Donald Trump's tariffs. This latest round of widespread tariffs has continued to put pressure on businesses. Kyra Buckley reports.
The first time Oregon and other states challenged Trump administration tariffs, they won. The Supreme Court ruled those import taxes did not follow U.S. law. Now Trump officials are trying a different tactic, saying dozens of countries aren't abiding by forced labor laws. Trump says that allows him to implement 10 to 12% tariffs. And Oregon and two dozen other states are suing again. They're asking the International Trade Court in New York to rule that the president's interpretation of the law is wrong and strike down the import taxes. It could be months before the court takes up the case. I'm Kyra Buckley reporting.
After tweaking a controversial city ordinance, Pendleton is now fighting a lawsuit over its homelessness policies in court. Antonio Sierra has more.
Pendleton has city codes outlining where people can rest or sleep in public, and when. A group of unhoused residents filed a lawsuit against the city over these rules last year. They allege that the city's policies run afoul of state law. Last month, the city changed its ordinance, known as the Resting Ordinance, to expand the hours when people can sleep in certain public places without facing fines or police enforcement. Now city attorneys hope the code changes will be enough for a judge to throw out the lawsuit. The two sides have been negotiating more expansive changes to Pendleton's resting policies, but the deal was scuttled after the city council rejected a settlement agreement amid public opposition in June. Antonio Sierra reporting.
You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN, turning now to news from Washington State. Officials now say arson was the cause of one of the three fires that burned hundreds of structures in and around Spokane, Washington. The Spokane County Sheriff said last night that a 37-year-old man was arrested in connection with starting the Old Trails fire. The sheriff said in a press conference on local TV station KHQ that the man was first reported by a witness on Saturday. The witness said the man was crouching in the grass and left after he was spotted. shortly after the witness smelled smoke. The suspect is expected to appear in court today.
Officials in Spokane do not know when people will be able to return home in the wildfire evacuation areas. In a news conference Monday, state and local officials said at least 700 structures have been lost. Washington National Guard Adjutant General Gent Welsh says the evacuation area is still very dangerous.
I can tell you today that that's a war zone. As people go in there and to just grapple with the damage and grapple with the fact that their lives are forever changed, some of these folks may not recover. Some of those folks may not rebuild in there. And it's going to continue to be, I would say, a very significant emotional event.
By the numbers, officials now say 67,000 people were evacuated. There are no reported casualties at this time. But sheriff's officials are trying to reach 14 people who had called 911 and who deputies have not been able to make contact with. They stress this does not mean these people are missing or deceased. Fire officials implore people to heed evacuation warnings until they're told it's safe to return. Pacific County's largest school district is dropping from 4 schools to 3. Amid a decline in enrollment, officials with the Ocean Beach School District say the resulting loss of state funding and reductions in federal funding, along with rising costs, have put considerable strain on the budget. The district plans to consolidate Hilltop Middle School into Ilwaco High School at the Black Lake campus. 6th grade students would remain at Ocean Park Elementary. Ocean Beach Superintendent Amy Huntley says Ilwaco High School has more specialty spaces and a larger cafeteria and library that can better accommodate more students. Initial estimates show the consolidation would save the school district around $500,000 annually. The conversation about consolidation comes even as the district hopes to land state funding for a seismic and tsunami-safe 6th through 12th grade campus in Ilwaco or for either of the district's 2 elementary schools. This could change the outlook for the district in the future, but Huntley says time remains the enemy. Those projects would likely not be completed until the early 2030s. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Online at chinookobserver.com. Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. American Democracy Minute is up next. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Back in April, we reported on the seizure of over 600,000 Riverside County, California ballots by County Sheriff Chad Bianco. The state attorney general and a group of voters asked the state Supreme Court to intervene. Oral arguments in those cases will be heard in a special session August 24th. Bianco, then a candidate for governor of California, claims he was investigating a, quote, potential 45,000 extra votes when he seized over 1,400 boxes of records in February and March from the November 2025 redistricting referendum, Proposition 50. Affidavits used to obtain the warrants, later unsealed, showed the county attorney used hearsay evidence from an activist group, not official data from county or state election officials. 2 lawsuits, one by the California Attorney General and the other by a Riverside City councilwoman and voters, were combined for oral arguments in an upcoming August 24th special session. Bianco argues that the state does not have statutory or constitutional authority over a county sheriff's actions and that the attorney general does not have the authority to quash a search warrant. The second suit argues that a county sheriff has no jurisdiction over ballots and the seizure violated state election chain of custody statutes. In the June 2nd California primary, Sheriff Bianco received 10.2% of the vote. We've linked to our past reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.